Our Old Testament lesson today is from one of the minor prophets, those short books at the end of the Old Testament. And it's from the prophet Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 21 to 35. The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Please rise if you're comfortable in doing that. Then Peter came up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant! I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, last Sunday, we looked at the Beatitudes found at the beginning of Matthew 5, that list of people who are blessed. I want to connect that idea of who is blessed with what we just read, the parable of the unmerciful servant. You know, I've told this story before, but years ago, at one of the lowest points in my life, I sat late one night at a dimly lit kitchen table searching in the Bible, a book I was scarcely familiar with, hoping to find a solution to my despair. I was searching for a list of people who were blessed, convinced for some reason that that list, if I could find it, would guide me to the reason why I was afraid and hopeless instead of blessed. I did find the list that I was looking for that night, but it did me no good. The very first entry on that list from Matthew 5 of people who were blessed read like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I was stumped. What does poor in spirit mean? This parable we read from Matthew 18 gives us some insight into what it means to be poor in spirit. Jesus told this parable of the unforgiving servant in response to a question from Peter. How many times must I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? The rabbinical teaching was that a person should forgive 3 times. So Peter may have been trying to impress Jesus with his charitable spirit by suggesting that he forgive 7 times instead of just 3. But Jesus said, no, not 7 times, Peter, but 77 times. In other words, Jesus said, Peter, just forgive without limits. Just keep on forgiving. And then Jesus told the parable of the servant who was forgiven a huge, almost inconceivable debt. Forgiven because his creditor, the king, had mercy on him and his family. It's a heartwarming story until it suddenly takes an ugly turn. We find out that the man whose huge debt was forgiven by the king was owed a little money himself. And soon after his huge debt was forgiven by the king, he ran across the man who owed him a few bucks. And this is where it gets really ugly. Because rather than forgiving the man who owed him a little money, he had him thrown into prison. I mean, unbelievable. How could a man who'd been forgiven so much, who had been the recipient of such great mercy, how could he not forgive someone else? Fortunately, there's a satisfying ending to this parable. That ungrateful, hypocritical jerk who was forgiven so much and yet refused to forgive another, he was thrown into prison himself. And frankly, that pleases me, because that's exactly what he deserved. That guy got what he had coming to him. Except, it turns out that this parable of the ungrateful servant who was forgiven so much, but then he himself refused to forgive even a little, it turns out that Jesus wasn't telling it to people you know who are just like this ungrateful guy in the parable. Instead, he was telling it to you and me. Because we're often just like that guy, that unforgiving servant. That stings, but it's true. It's you and me who are called to forgive. You know, in Genesis 50, there's a great episode from history, the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, the son who was sold by his 10 brothers into slavery at age 17 and carried by slave traders to Egypt. Most of you know the story, Joseph's enslavement, his wrongful conviction and imprisonment in Egypt, the sadness and despair and disappointments of his life, until through a series of miraculous situations, Joseph became the second most powerful man in the most powerful and prosperous nation on earth, Egypt. Joseph's father, Jacob, who loved him very much, never had any idea of what had happened to Joseph. Nor did his brothers know of his fate after they had sold him into slavery. But 20 years after Joseph had been sold away, the Mediterranean basin was engulfed in a massive famine. And there was only one reliable source of food, the nation of Egypt. Joseph's brothers traveled to Egypt to buy food and were shocked beyond comprehension to discover that Joseph was not only alive, but their very lives were now dependent on the mercy of their brother whom they had sold into slavery so many years before. Joseph could have sought revenge. He could have had his brothers enslaved as they had done to him, and no one would have blamed him. But Joseph didn't do that. Instead, as his astonished and fearful brothers gathered before him, certain that they were going to get what was coming to them, Joseph said, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that so many people should be kept alive as they are today. Do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." The Bible says, thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know, I mentioned my search for the list of people who were blessed at a time when I was despairing and depressed. I found the list in Matthew 5, but didn't understand the very first verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It made no sense to me. I've recounted this story before, how in church the following morning I sat dumbfounded as the meaning of poor in spirit was explained in the sermon. Those who are poor in spirit recognize their complete dependence on God's mercy and forgiveness. The poor in spirit are blessed, even though they've often suffered the most, because they're overwhelmed with gratitude for what God has given them. Overwhelmed with gratitude for God's forgiveness of them, for God's mercy and help in every trouble. Joseph was rich. He was a leader of Egypt. But Joseph was also poor in spirit. In our lives, we also experience tragedy, all of us. There's loss, there's constant change, we're battered by sadness and disappointment, there's broken relationships. Sometimes it's hard to forgive. But here's some good news. God can redeem what's been destroyed. He can take evil and use it for good. A lot of us here have experienced that ourselves. So here's a question. How should we respond to what God's done for us? How should we respond to God's forgiveness and mercy and compassion toward us that we don't deserve? You know, today is a good day to ask that question. This has been a rough week for a lot of people, an emotional week for a lot of people. A lot of people feel personally offended. A lot of people are very angry on both ends of the political spectrum. But regardless of what's happening politically, regardless of who's president, we are called today more than ever to forgive. To forgive and to love. That includes loving especially those who look different than you do, who think differently than you do, who even vote differently than you do. You know, our Old Testament lesson from Micah asks this question. How should you live in response to the incredible mercy and compassion and forgiveness God has shown you? Well, here's the answer according to Micah. God has told us what he wants in return. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. And here's where you start. You recognize your own dependence on God's mercy and forgiveness. In other words, you're poor in spirit, which means you depend on God so much so that you recognize that God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness toward you never fails. God will help you in every trouble. He forgives you again and again and again. If you think the country's going to hell in a handbasket, don't despair. Remember that God can take evil and use it for good. That's His specialty. God is in control, and He's with you. He's wrapped you in robes of righteousness and covered up your sin. Soak in His forgiveness and soak in His love. Be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your indescribable mercy and compassion and forgiveness toward us. Lord, help us to be poor in spirit and respond with mercy and compassion and forgiveness toward others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.